Attention, radio listeners.
Ooh, Thomas, get out of town. Wow.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Goodness, is that a message? Oh, mommy, please, get me out of this game.
You weren't paying any attention.
Interesting move here, Bill. Shays came into the basketball game. Jim Boeheim has inserted Shays into the game. Big guy inside, maybe to help eliminate that second or third shot.
Well, people in Central New York claim that Roosevelt Bowie is the best center Syracuse University has ever had.
Your attention, please. This is Centers of Attention.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the show, Centers of Attention. It is... today's Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. We are here on ESPN Syracuse. Yesterday, if you were here with us, you know that Danny Shays, who was traveling, tried to connect from wherever hotel he was at, and we had some trouble with him. We couldn't hear him well. All right, we heard him fine. It was this vicious delay, and it was really rough. And so we gave Danny the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. And we looked for a center. We looked for any centers, because, you know, the show's called Centers of Attention. We said, all right, if we don't have a center, are we allowed to take anybody else on the floor? And they said, okay. And I said, well, it better be funny. And Paulie's on the road. So Eric Devendorf is here. Eric, good morning.
And I can play all five positions, too.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so, true. So you can, absolutely. I'm a center as well.
You can be our sub, and glad you're with us. And good morning, man. You and I have done post-game shows together. We did that one time in the afternoon. Now they're giving us the morning. I'm telling you, they really want us to be friends. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and I want to be friends, you know. So, I mean, they're doing a good job.
Yes, they are indeed the schedules makers. One of these days we're going to have a beer and say, you guys had nothing to do with it. nonetheless, the Hall of Fame happened. There was a wild fight in college basketball. Syracuse plays Notre Dame. But before we get into anything, we do have a little bit of news in that Syracuse football's schedule came out. The complete schedule was released. And it's all over Twitter, and it's all, you know, it's online. And so I just want to run through the quick schedule. I'm not going to start doing win totals and all that other nonsense. We have plenty of time for that. There's 8 conference games and 4 other games. And Syracuse travels. They open up on the road on a Friday night at Boston College. Mm. Can we say road trip? So I like that. And then the next week they go on the road again to see Rutgers, which is right by where I grew up. So that's cool. I grew up about 15 minutes from the Rutgers Stadium, and I was 38 years old the first time I ever saw the place.
Wow. So did you grow up a Rutgers fan, though? Or
no. Yeah, fan. I didn't even know they existed. And it was funny because I wasn't 38. I was over 40. But the University of Washington played there. And one of my best friends is pre and post game for Washington. So I went to go see him. And it's a nice stadium. And I walked around and they said, what, you never been here before? Didn't you grow up here? And I said, yep, never came here.
Wow.
It was not even interesting enough. Then they open up at home, the first game in the renovated dome. Remember that? So renovated dome, Colgate. $118 million renovation, new fixed roof. Well, everything will be seen. So that's their day. So tell the contractors, especially those union guys that think they can take an hour and a half lunch break, they got a game on September 19th. They have to get ready.
Do we have air conditioning too, or what?
I am told it's in a couple of years, not on September 19th.
Okay, okay, that's a big step we need to take, right?
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
You know, I made that crack about Danny Shays' delay, and this is the things you do? And I just want to tell you, I talked for at least 3 minutes before I knew that I was off the air. I didn't know I was off. Because you asked me again about the air conditioning. I gave you a full answer, and then I did 3 games, and I talked about how you can't schedule a game for October 31st against Georgia Tech on Halloween, because I like trick-or-treating and I want to go trick-or-treating and I don't want a football game on October 31st. And I wanted to laugh, and that was what I didn't get. That's how I knew I was off the air. I was just running through the schedule and you just came out and and didn't respond. I said, come on, Halloween, trick-or-treating, that's funny, and nothing.
But did you laugh?
I laughed.
That's all that counts. We can run it back. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about it.
My favorite story about that, and I love this bit because I used to do a show with a guy that was in Houston. I was in New York, and he was in Houston when we were on MLB Radio, former big leaguer Daryl Hamilton. And this was in the mid-2000s, and the equipment is not nearly as good as this. Like, Twitch didn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, right. we're connected. This is a rarity that this drops. Watts, it'll drop again. And I could hear in my headset a click every time he clicked off and clicked on. So I knew, no one else could know, but I knew when he was back. And so we synced it up that every time that would happen, he would come back. And he would go, and those are the players I know did steroids, and I'm not telling you again.
You guys had it figured out, man.
So that's what I was going to do, and I was going to say, and Syracuse is going to win that many games, and no, don't tell me again. I was thinking about doing that, but no, I didn't do it. Anyway, the schedule's great. It's online. I'll go through it real quick. Liberty, October 17th.
Win.
At Clemson, October 24th. Then home Halloween for Georgia Tech. Then at Wake, November 7th. And then home for NC State, November 14th. Thursday night, November 19th against Florida State. That's a home game. And then they wrap up November 28th at Pitt. And that's the schedule. So it's 12 games right there. And again, it's all over Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat and everywhere.
That's a pretty good schedule. I mean, I think we have a lot of opportunity right there. What do you think?
Well, I would say this. I like that you go up to Boston, and I like that Nate Mink, who comes on our show every week during the football season, has already checked the Red Sox schedule. So for the weekend that you have the Friday night game against Boston, he already is making all his plans.
A smart man. Smart man.
Smart man. That's how you travel, and that's how you do road trips.
Absolutely.
Very good. Very, very good. Okay, so we have that. Then there was the Hall of Fame. And congratulations to Derek Jeter. A lot of Yankee fans in Syracuse. Derek Jeter, an icon, a legend. I have a funny Derek Jeter story. He's a Hall of Famer. There's no question.
And he's from Michigan.
That's true. Yes, yeah. That's right. He's
Me
from
and
Michigan.
Him are both from Michigan. He has to be a great guy.
Has to be a great guy. And his legend is just that. It's legendary.
Yes, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
It's a legendary player. How much do you make of the one guy that didn't vote for him to make it unanimous? This has been the debate
terrible.
Of the night.
That's terrible. We were just talking about that. I mean, it has to be out of spite, right? I mean, what was it, 99.7?
Well, it's one vote. It's 377 votes, and 376 said yes, so one vote.
I mean, who we have to find out who this guy was. We have to. I mean, come on, man. It was out of spite. You don't do that. I mean, but what was his reasoning, though? You know, I want to find that out, too. What was his reasoning? After we find out who it is, let's find out why.
My prediction was it's somebody who wants to hear this. Like, he wants this conversation to be nationwide.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
It's a sadistic, just a dark place that somebody did. But what it brings up to me, and I'm going to say this a couple of times, and I mean this from 26 years of experience covering this goddamn sport, and that is the voting process is antiquated, it's a sham, and of the 377 voters, and this is an educated guess because I've asked for an exact number and nobody can give me it, I would guess that over 70 of those 377 are not baseball reporters anymore.
Oh, man.
That process is you have to be in the Baseball Writers Association, which is a union. You have to pay union dues. You have to be in it for 10 years to get the vote. And if you stop playing baseball, there's a period, because they don't know if you're going to come back to it, they don't take your vote away. It's the antiquated thing. And for years, they wouldn't allow electronic media into it. So if you wrote for a website, you weren't allowed. Now, every writer is trying to go to a website because newspapers are dying.
Right.
It's an antiquated, old piece of garbage vote. But I will say this. Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous. Mickey Mantle wasn't unanimous. Tony Gwynn wasn't unanimous. Ken Griffey Jr. wasn't unanimous. None of these guys were unanimous. There was one unanimous, and it's Mariano Rivera. And the rumor was, that year, was that the ballots were going to get released. And everyone was afraid to be that guy.
But somebody's going to be this guy. Who's going to...
This year, the Hall of Fame came out and said, don't worry, you're not under any obligation to print your ballot. And so some jackass decided to do it.
Yeah. They're going to find out. Do you think he'll be shunned?
I don't think they'll be. I don't think he'll be found. Because I think the writer, because remember, it's a reporter. So that means they have a Twitter account. And I bet you he's already tweeted that he hasn't done it.
It's there. Somebody's going to find out. Trust me. It's going to. I don't know when. But come on, this guy's going to come out, and then they're going to be like, they're going to be on him.
And just why do I call this thing a sham? I just want to back that statement up because I don't like just making blanket statements without backing it up. The story goes, there's nobody in radio or television that is allowed to be in this elite club that gets a vote. Bear with me.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
All right. Take three. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Good morning, everybody. In for Danny Shays is the great Eric Diefendorf. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
It's been the easiest show you've done so far.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, listen, they can't hold us down. We're here. We're here to stay.
Can I ask one question, though?
Absolutely.
I just want to ask one question. This is a question for Buckshot and for Tommy, because we've had two times, and Eric is in studio, no connection issues whatsoever. Do you guys have any faith that Eric could host this by himself?
Eric could do it. I have faith,
right?
In Eric. Yep. Oh, yeah. He can take
totally
over.
I totally think he could do it.
Yep. I appreciate that. I appreciate the confidence.
So I just want you to be ready. If it happens again and I get knocked off air, just take the ball and dribble. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. I'm going right to the
shoot.
Hoop. Right to the hoop. No, I'm shooting. No.
Okay. Break down the 2-3 zone right now.
I can do it.
Okay, if you say so. All right, I'm done waxing poetic about the Hall of Fame because both times I got knocked offline. So I just want to tell two funny stories about Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. Congratulations to both of them. They got into the Hall of Fame. So here's the Jeter story. And I've got at least a half a dozen of them, but this is the funniest one I like. 2014, I took a gig working for the New York Mets. And so I traveled with the New York Mets. And we played the Yankees, and I think it was at Citi Field. And I had this idea because I knew Derek Jeter from my days at MLB, and I said, I'll put Derek Jeter on the Mets pregame show. Right? Good idea, right? Okay. And I go up to Derek Jeter, and I go, hey, man, how you been? And he goes, good, good. Shakes my hand, and he says, I haven't seen you around. And he's putting on his cleats. So he's got one leg on the stool. I just want the image of this happening. He's tying his shoe, and he's looking down. So he shakes my hand, and then he goes to put on his cleat, and he's looking down at the shoe, and he says, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? I said, well, I've been working with the – I took a gig with the Mets. And he looked up, raised one eyebrow, kind of like Leonard Nimoy, and just went, really? And in that one word, it was like all of the failure. like really?
Perfect picture in my head too. I could see it.
You went there? I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah, like, I gotta keep doing what I gotta do too, right? Jeez.
So that's my favorite Derek Jeter, when he just had that highbrow of really? And I always think it's a funny shot at the Mets. And it makes me laugh.
That's what it meant to him.
All right, Larry Walker. So I covered Larry Walker in the very beginning of my career. and I was 23 when my first big league season that I covered baseball was 96, because I graduated in May of 96, and about 3 months later, I moved out to Denver, and I covered games, so that's technically my first season covering, but it wasn't like my main gig. And in 97, I was the Rockies beat reporter for the radio station. And so I went to, I would say of the 81 home games, I probably went to 75 of them. And so I saw every game, and that's Larry Walker's MVP year. That's the year he won, 1997 MVP. And the second baseman for the Rockies was Eric Young Sr. Now his son is in the big leagues, Eric Young Jr. And Eric Young Sr. used to tease me because he wanted me to ask a question to Rockies manager Don Baylor. And if you've ever seen Don Baylor, and this is for the audience, he is one of the scariest MFs you've ever seen. And I was scared of him. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew I was intimidated by the guy. And it turns out he's one of the nicest people. And after this incident, it happened. And so picture this scene. Eric Young's a little guy. He's about my height. And he kept every day he would go, is this the day you're going to ask a question? Just ask any question, ask a question. And if they won, he would go, we won, ask a question. Come on, he'll be good. Just, I dare you, ask a question, ask a question. And he would ride me like for days. And Larry Walker was two lockers down, and Larry Walker comes over and screams at Eric Young. And he says, will you stop picking on this kid? And I was like, oh my God, the great Larry Walker's defending me. And he turns his head. So his body is still facing Eric Young, and he turns his head, just his neck. He turns his head towards me and he goes, what are you looking at? And I literally almost peed in my pants. Like, I was like, oh my God.
He went from defending you to,
yep.
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at? And I went, whoa.
Good man, that's Larry.
That's my Larry Walker story. And he got 70. He got 304 votes, six above the 75% needed. And he's up from 54.6% last year. So he jumped 20%. And it was an increase of 22%, is the highest among the seven players to get into the Hall on their final year of eligibility. Congrats to Larry Walker. Just a great guy, a superstar in his own right. He used to take the mail. So you know how like there'd be a sack of mail that comes into the clubhouse, and they have people to do this. And every day, part of his pregame ritual would be he'd open up the sack of mail and deliver all the fan mail to all the players.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just a cool guy. Like, yeah. Just a really neat, interesting guy. And I once asked him like why he does that, and he says it's what I do. It's part of my thing. He was magnanimous, he was nice, and he was a leader, and he was a man, and you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's a good guy.
Man's man, like, right. A tough guy, but a really nice guy. Whenever a woman had a question, he would stop what he was doing and answer, you know, because don't forget, women in the clubhouse, it wasn't like as accepted as it is now. That right. We're only like less than a decade removed from the Zeke Moat, Lisa Olsen incident, you know, with the New England Patriots. So, I remember he did that, and they, you know, the pitchers that would struggle because the Rockies didn't know how to pitch, and they, you know, these guys would take it, and he would come by and stand next to them while they were talking to the media. Like this guy, Kevin Ritz, really nice guy, awful pitcher. And he would talk, and Larry Walker would just stand there, just, you know, pat him on the back and just say, keep going, man, you're good, you're good. And I just thought it was the nicest. I thought the world of him. I never thought he was a Hall of Famer, but I never paid it much attention. If you look at his numbers, he's a Hall of Famer. It's hands down. He's a Hall of Famer, and just a great guy. So I'm really happy for him.
Second-born Canadian is in the Hall of Fame, isn't it?
Ferguson Jenkins was the first, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's talk maybe he'll go in as an Expo, even though his best years were as a Rocky. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. Curt Schilling was 5% shy. Curt Schilling got 70%. You need 75. He has two more years of eligibility left. And I always said that I never thought Curt Schilling could get in until Jack Morris and Mike Mussina got in, because I think Jack Morris and Mike Mussina are better than him. Mm. And I always said that if Kurt Schilling gets in before those guys, that would be a crime. But I never, you know, both those guys are in now. So what do I think about Kurt Schilling? And I do think the part that he's a blank, he's just a jerk.
Like, yeah,
he's
absolutely just a jerk.
He's just he's just a clown. And I think that's affecting people's vote. And it shouldn't. But again, I said before, like, the voting process is a sham, but these writers, they vote with their heart, and they just say, and Kurt Schilling's just a clown. He's just, think of any bad word that the FCC won't let me say, yeah. And that's Kurt Schilling.
Well, same with how they're doing Barry Bonds. And I mean, it's tainted, right? Because of the steroid thing.
Well, but that's different. It's different. Kurt Schilling is just because he's a bad guy. The thing with Bonds and Clemens, they both rose. They both, you know, went up. They didn't go up enough, obviously. They're in the 60s, 60%. So you need 75%. I think they will get in. And I think cheating scandals like the one that the Astros did, I think that helps Mons, and I think it helps Clemens.
Right.
And I also think A-Rod's eligibility helps. Because when A-Rod's eligible, you know, he's the darling now, even though I think he's the phoniest human being I've ever known. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and somebody said online that in 2022, Bonds, Clemens, and A-Rod are all eligible, and Manny Ramirez, and just get them all in.
Yeah, I mean, it's strictly off of baseball, what you did, right? I mean, I don't know.
And I've been saying this for at least 15 years, so
it's a tough call. I know they could say, what, the steroids and you know, all the enhancement drugs they helped.
It's cheating.
Yeah, it's definitely cheating, yeah. I mean, would it have took away, if he didn't do that, the steroids, you know, would he have still hit all those home runs and you know, had that successful of a career?
I don't look at it like that. Because you don't know when he started, you don't know when he stopped, you don't know what they did. You know, in Bonds' case, it was after McGuire broke Roger Maris's record. Bonds was jealous, and so he started doing steroids. And then in the McGuire case, he started doing steroids just to stay on the field. I mean, he was getting hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's different. And my thing, I take a different stance on that. I say that there were so many guys that did steroids back then, and a lot of them didn't get caught. I always said there were at least 6 to 8 guys on every roster. If you printed out all the rosters from 98, I had heard rumors about all of them. I knew how bad it was. You know what I mean? I covered the sport then. I was young, but I was starting. And my problem is that guys who just never, the media never pounced on them, or they never got pinched, because remember, there was no testing. And those guys just skate. And why are Clemens and Bonds singled out just because the media got to them?
No, they're the scapegoats, right? I mean, somebody always has to be the example, right? I mean,
in Bonds' case, he testified in front of a grand jury that was supposed to be sealed, and it was unsealed, and he says he never knowingly did it, and he was acquitted. Remember, he was acquitted.
Yeah.
Again, I think he did it, but he was acquitted.
But that has to count for some. Yeah, it has to count for some, right?
Right. And yeah. So I, you know, and I'm not saying something that hasn't been said before, but Mike Piazza's in the Hall of Fame, and I heard it just as much about him. And Craig Biggio's in the Hall of Fame, and I heard it just as much about him.
Yeah.
And so to me, if you're going to have guys who you think did steroids, then just have them in. You know what I mean? Like, you can't punish Mike Piazza because you think he might have.
Yeah.
And so what do you do with Barry Bonds? Just because, I mean, he never was suspended. And in A-Rod's case, I don't know. I think that if you're going to have Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in, you have to have A-Rod.
It just makes, I mean, if you have to, put them all in, like you said. I mean, you can't just leave these guys out and then, oh, but he did it, and oh, but he did it, he's not in. I mean, you got to have, put them all in. I mean, especially if they earned it. I mean, off their play, right?
You would think. So those are the only guys that were close. Again, congrats to Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. And Kurt Schilling is close. And like I said, I understand if he gets in, but I think people are not voting for him because he's a jerk.
And he's still a jerk. He's a jerk.
He's a jerk. He's a jerk. And it's a shame because he works for a charity that I was associated with, I still am, the ALS Association. And I really want to like him, and I can't. I just can't.
You're okay. Hey, it's okay.
He puts his foot in his mouth all the time.
You're not a jerk, though. You're not a jerk. No, so that's, no. You know, you're fine.
All right, I'm going to call an audible. I know we promised Pudge Rodriguez. It's out on my Sports with Friends podcast. We're going to play that tomorrow because Syracuse plays Notre Dame, and it's 10:30 already, and we haven't asked Eric Diefendorf about Syracuse-Notre Dame. So how about we do that? I think the football schedule and the drop lines are throwing me off for a loop. So we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will talk Syracuse-Notre Dame with Eric Diefendorf next here on ESPN Syracuse.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
All right, 38 past the hour. Glad you're with us here on a shaky start. Eric Diefendorf in for Danny today. Coming up at the top of the hour, I think it's Seth Goldberg, Roosevelt Bowie, and Etan Thomas. That's the plan. It may just be Roosevelt. I don't know, but Tommy will tell me if I'm wrong. But nonetheless, that's the second hour of Centers of Attention here on Q's Sports Talk. That's hello. And by the way, we never dropped off the Twitter line, so you saw me throwing things, and that must have been a real hoot. Great video for that. Eric Diefendorf is with us. And Eric, Syracuse plays Notre Dame tonight. And, you know, looking forward to it. The pregame coverage starts at 6 here on ESPN Syracuse. And then afterwards, there's a crunch game. So we will be on Twitch only for postgame. So the Burdick Lexus and Burdick BMW postgame show will be on Twitch only. But all the surprises, Boeheim and all that stuff, will be on after the game. What's your thought on the 11-7 Orange against the 11-6 Fighting Irish?
Well, I mean, last game it was a high scoring game, right? I think the biggest thing for us is rebounding the ball and not giving up second chance points. You know, ultimately that what cost us the first game. John Mooney got the offensive rebound, put back. I think he got two offensive rebounds, and like I said, that was ultimately the game. So, you know, we got to focus on, you know, getting that first rebound, getting out and pushing the ball. I mean, we've been doing a great job of obviously making shots, and if we can, you know, do a better job of getting fast break and getting out, getting our shooters in position to get good shots and not contested shots. And then, you know, going back to the defensive end, we got to guard the three-point line. They had 15 threes last game, you know, and then the first game when we played Notre Dame, they had 15 threes as well. So just to be able to kind of limit that, I know guys are going to make shots, but it's tough to win games when you're giving up 15 threes. And we did it last game against Virginia Tech, like I said, but we don't want to keep that up. So I think rebounding, guarding the three-point line, and if we can get out and get early baskets in transition, that's always going to help us.
What about the fact that they're just shooting with more confidence, and they scored a bunch of points? And if you think about it, Notre Dame was the first game where they offensively, you know, if you take Georgia Tech out of it, it was the first of this recent resurgence offensively. What about the idea that they're playing with more confidence now?
No, absolutely. And I mean, you got to make shots, right? And that's what we're doing. I think, you know, we saw last game against Virginia Tech, Elijah's being way more assertive, you know, just getting the ball in situations and making a play and making shots. And then, you know, Buddy's been red hot and just making shots, transition off the dribble. He's been super impressive. So, I mean, that goes a long way, right? We don't want to keep it, you know, complicated. We just want to be simple, and they're making shots. So when you do that, you tend to win more games.
Just this idea that Buddy Boeheim was on that streak against Virginia Tech. Have you ever had a streak like that where you can't miss? And what I know it sounds basketball 101, but do players literally consciously notice, hey, listen, this guy can't miss. Whatever I do, get him the ball?
I mean, a great teammate would, you know, absolutely. And I've been in those moments where you're feeling good. I don't know if I've had 18 straight like Buddy did. That was pretty impressive. But I've been in those moments where you're feeling good and you're letting your teammates know about it. And you know, like I said, great teammates are going to get you the ball in your spots. And then, you know, you're going to do it from there. So pretty impressive to see him do that. And I think the teammates did a great job of, you know, getting the ball to him in his spots. And then, you know, he took care of the rest.
What do you make of the conference and how the conference has totally changed? So if you look at the conference standings, Syracuse with a victory will be tied for fourth place. Fourth place in the ACC. That's not that's unheard of. And I know that there's the elite. And we know who the elite is. And we play all of those guys once, which is great. I love that we don't play them twice. You know what I mean? Like that's a blessing in its own right. But this idea that you have a team that has played well enough that despite everything that happened in Denver, you have this opportunity to have a really good seed heading into that ACC tournament if you can maintain this good play and not have major hiccups. You have a real chance to finish in the top six of the conference, which I would have thought was a foregone no chance back in December.
No, right. And I remember we were talking, a few weeks ago on the show, and we're not even talking about them maybe possibly getting in the ACC tournament, right? I mean, let alone being a top six seed. So obviously it's a down year for the conference overall, but I think that could help us because, we got a young team and these guys are progressing and they're learning and getting better every game. But, every game is winnable. Every game is an opportunity to get better and win. And, especially over these last, four or five games, even though we didn't win all of them, this three game winning streak is showing a lot of progression. But even in the games that we lost, I think, you could see these guys starting to figure it out a little bit. We really should be 6-1, right? I mean, we should have beat, Notre Dame.
And
we
Virginia
should,
Tech.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously the first game against Virginia was, they're just, trying to figure it out. So, these guys can keep getting better and keep figuring out. It was huge to get that win on the road against Virginia Tech because Virginia Tech made shots and we fought through it. And we fought through that adversity. We kept playing. We kept fighting on the boards. Quincy did a great job getting in there and adding value on the boards. So if we can keep progressing and keep figuring out ways to win, we're going to be there. We're going to be there at the end. And like you said, we weren't talking about that earlier this season.
When I was printing out notes, I clicked on a link to StubHub. And tonight, Syracuse Notre Dame, there's $4 tickets.
Nice. Family night.
What? I mean, I understand that basketball is not football out there and stuff. Personally, and I get crap for this, but I stand by it. I don't understand Notre Dame. I don't understand the allure of them. I don't see it. I don't know if it's a religious thing that I just don't get or something. I don't see it as this magic place. People say it's a bucket list place. Like you have to go to South Bend to see a game. And I'm just like, I will live a happy life. And if I never go to Notre Dame, it means absolute zero to me. $4 to get into Syracuse Notre Dame?
Well, I mean, you know why it's so popular, right? It's Rudy. That's what it is. It's one word, one name, Rudy. That's it.
I remember when Rudy came out. I consciously didn't go out and see it. I've seen it on cable. It doesn't hold my attention. It's not. I don't get that. I'll see Rocky 17 times. I like The Champ with Ricky Schroeder. Rudy means zero to me. It's a movie that does not make any sense to me.
Don't say that in South Bend.
No, I understand. I don't think I'm going to be very popular there, but I I'm not bashing it. I'm just saying I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get the allure. I don't get the fascination with Notre Dame. So many people have said, "Oh my God, it's the greatest experience. I've never seen anything like it." And I don't know. One of these days, you and I'll do a bucket list.
I've been there a couple times.
You've been there. You've been there for football?
Well, I played my first time. I played in the McDonald's All-American game there, in high school. So we took a tour. Everything. It was cool. Nice. Did I feel the, what they were talking about? Maybe not. I felt the same. South Bend's not an unbelievable city to be in. And then obviously for basketball and we got to see the stadium and stuff. But it was pretty cool. I think the big house in Michigan's way better.
Yeah.
For me, I mean.
Yeah, that I like to tease Michigan because my ex-girlfriend went there. my brother-in-law went there. and I just like to bag on Michigan.
It's a great school.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I went when I was in school, it was the Fab Five.
Ah, that was a good era.
It was a great era of basketball, and they had the Fab Five, and we had John Wallace and Lawrence Moten, and I remember calling my ex-girlfriend and saying, yeah, but John Wallace is better. Lawrence Moten is better. I just remember that. Lazar Sims can beat any of your Michigan guys. I remember that, and I dreamt that they would play each other. And then when they played each other in the Final Four, like two decades later, it had not even close to the same impact. I just remember one of my daughters was little, and she went to sleep with Syracuse winning and woke up the next morning and thought they won. She fell asleep on the couch, you know, because she was a little kid.
Oh,
and
man.
She fell asleep and doesn't know that. And I waited like half a day before I told her that they lost.
Disappointment. That's the worst. Having to disappoint your kids. Come on, man. Come on, Seth. You could have just kept it to yourself.
I could have. She'd go into history class and say, that didn't happen. What are you talking about?
A lot of stuff in history didn't happen. All right. Come on.
All right. That's Eric Diefendorf again. Syracuse Notre Dame tonight. And Burdick Lexus, Burdick BMW postgame show is on Twitch only. So it's on Q Sports Talk on Twitch. We will continue here with more ESPN Syracuse.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Bill Rapp Superstore's Rapid Purchase. Enjoy the entire car buying process from your laptop, tablet, or mobile device at BillRapp.com. So Eric Diefendorf and I just had our first fight.
Yeah, it didn't go well. I apologize. Sorry.
it didn't go well.
Sorry,
he
man.
Lifted a stool like that dude on Kansas.
Oh, gosh. That's terrible. I feel so bad for that kid.
So I was busy talking about the Twitch postgame. What about the watch party, dude?
Yeah, the watch party tonight. Myself, Tyler Lydon, Rosie Bowie, the OG legend. You know, we're going to be on at 6:45 tonight. I think it's Twitch/QSTalk. Sports.
Q Sports Talk. Q Sports I'll take Talk. Care of the particulars.
Yeah,
don't worry about that.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, we're, you know, check us out, man. It's going to be fun. We usually, have fun and it's some good commentary throughout the game. So, tune in.
And I appreciate that you're demanding that you stay on Twitch and do the postgame show, just the extra postgame show with me. That's really nice of you. And I appreciate you offering like that. It's really magnanimous of you.
Yeah, I put that out there. I would put that a couple things I have to have in solid, and that was one of them.
Notice how I didn't say it off the air so you could say no. I said it on the air so you'd look like a jerk if you said no.
Come on, man. All the time. I'm there.
So that's all coming up. Q Sports Talk, 6:45, the watch party, and that should be a lot of fun, and I'll be watching. I'll be commenting in the chat room, telling to Eric to pull his pants up and stuff like that, and we'll have all kinds of fun stuff during that, and then, of course, we'll do the postgame show afterwards with Coach Boeheim and all that other stuff. So hopefully Syracuse beats Notre Dame. That's the only game in town, and hopefully that'll be a lot of fun. That's all you want is for January and then February to be really exciting, to make March even more exciting. And you're getting that so far, and who knows where it goes, but at least now it's more optimistic than it was.
It's fun. It's fun when you win, right? I mean, you like to, you want to see the guys do good. Obviously they're not going to win every game, but it's fun when you win. It makes it, makes it more fun to cheer. And I don't know. I just like to win more.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for sitting in. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, sounds good. Appreciate you.
All right. That's Eric Diefendorf. I'm Seth Everett. Stay tuned. The second half of Centers of Attention comes up next here on ESPN Syracuse. We'll see you then.